Now, the interesting thing was in the next couple of months, they had talked with some of their neighbors, and their neighbors had said, you know, there's a herd of really big wolves on your property. So they were at least sort of mollified, because they knew that other people had seen these animals also. Within a few weeks, the wife was coming back from town, and she had stopped her gray Chevette at the gate of the property. It was just locking the gate, having opened it, and she noticed one of these animals right beside her car. And she figured that the animal was so big. This was not your ordinary size wolf. This animal was so big that it was almost reaching the roof of the Chevette. She was terrified by the size of the thing. These animals were like three times the size of a normal wolf. And
plus
they were unbelievably tame.
Yeah, including, as you said, George, bulletproof. Almost robotic.
Yeah, they had some very unusual properties. Now, within a few weeks of that last incident with the Chevette at the ranch gate, those animals disappeared from the property and were never seen again. It was like they vanished off the face of the earth. They saw the family saw them in the distance a few times, and then they were gone, never seen again.
Did other creatures replace them? Different kinds of creatures?
Well, throughout the you know, as the whole thing unfolded between 1994. And when NIDS arrived in August of 1996, September 96, there were a variety of unusual creatures seen. The Gormans saw very unusual birds on the property. There were some sightings of what might have been Sasquatch-like creatures in the distance. And then when the NIDS team arrived on the property in 1996.
Now, that's when the Gormans sold, right?
That's when they sold the property after a litany of very, very high strangeness.
Well, did they sell to get out, or did Bigelow and group make such a good offer they had to sell?
Well, they had reached the end of their tether. They had basically been subjected to a series of mind games happening almost on a daily basis for, you know, 18 to 20 months. I had talked about their high-end cattle. Over a period of that 20 months, they lost, through either mutilation, death, or disappearance, about 12 of their high-end animals out of a herd of 80.
That's
which was
8%.
An unacceptable attrition rate.
Absolutely.
Financially, it was devastating. It was really a particular incident that happened in May, I believe, of 1996. In which Tom Gorman was watching his dogs on the property. He was sitting outside. He was relaxing. It was an evening when he noticed a blue orb, one of these circular orb objects that had become very, very common occurrences on the property. It was moving quickly close to the ground. The dogs saw it, and Gorman usually protected his animals when any of these objects were in the vicinity. But at this time, he lost his patience, and he set the dogs on this object. They began chasing this object, which was only a few feet off the ground, obviously being guided intelligently.
Basketball size?
It was just smaller than basketball size.
Right.
It was very, very blue. It actually cast a blue light on the ground as it maneuvered. But each time the dogs would lunge at it, it would just skip out of the way, obviously sort of taking evasive maneuvers. And slowly it was leading the dogs towards this dense copse of bushes. You know, as things unfolded, the dogs chased this thing into this dense thicket. And Gorman heard these agonized shrieks of the three animals.
Wow.
And then sudden silence. He was so scared when he heard that the yelping that he did not go down to investigate. He waited until the following morning. When he went down there, he found three large circles of dried out grass on the ground, and in the middle of each of those circles was this sort of gooey black mess that he surmised was the vaporized remains of his dogs. And it was That sort of terrorized the family, because not only were those three animals good cattle dogs, but they were also family pets. And so it was during that period in 1996 when the Gorman family decided that they finally had enough and that they wanted out. And it was at that stage that they began contacting people, and word got into the media, and through the media, Robert Bigelow and NIDS saw those stories and contacted the Gormans.
But to back up, too, the scariest stuff, and we'll be talking about some really dramatic incidents like that one, the scariest stuff to me in reading the reports were the tiny incidents that happened, poltergeist-type activity that started right from the beginning after the wolf incident, things disappearing, moving around on their own. The mom of the family goes shopping for groceries, comes home with a couple of weeks' worth of food, takes it out of the bags and puts it in the cabinets, goes to the bathroom, comes back, all the food is back out in the bags again.
Oh, no.
Or she would each morning take a shower. She'd lock the door in the bathroom, put her hairbrush on top of the towel right next to the shower, get out of the shower, the door is still locked, but the brush and the towel are gone, then find them later, like in the microwave or the freezer. The rancher, Tom Gorman, being out on the range, he was using a post hole digger on one day, stops from his work for just a second, either to brush his brow or to take a drink of water, turns back around, the post hole digger is gone. They find it days later, 30 feet up in a tree. Things of that sort, which we would categorized as poltergeist type activity. They started hearing disembodied voices above their heads speaking in a strange language, almost in mocking sort of tones. They would see shadowy type beings in the house. All the kinds of things that we would categorize as poltergeist stuff, but which, you know, frankly scares the hell out of me in thinking about it.
Well, you talked about flying objects. Can you rule out that there's any extraterrestrial intervention here?
Well, it's almost impossible to rule that out, because the Gorman family sort of were deluged by different sizes and different kinds of objects, ranging from these huge triangular objects to like triangular flying objects to small intelligently guided orbs. To there were small craft that looked like a mini version of the B-2 bomber or F-117 stealth fighter, very small versions of those. There were Mexican hat-shaped objects that were seen by the Gormans and by actually neighbors.